In Martin Luther's text was Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. We could say that John Bunyan's text was the verse 37 of that chapter, which we read together. And John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The 16th and 17th centuries in English history were times of great change. Under the leadership of Oliver Cromwell, there was great liberty and prosperity. As a committed Puritan, he championed the cause of the nonconformists. Even my soldiers carried Bibles, prayed and sang the Psalms. However, with his death and the ascension of Charles II, the tide of oppression began to rise. Being one of the most lying, unprincipled, selfish and corrupt kings that ever sat upon the English throne, he destroyed the purity of the nation. Following his example, the three kingdoms were overrun with drunkenness and revelry. Despite promising in the Declaration of Breda that none of you shall suffer for your opinions or religious beliefs, he began to reverse the policies of Cromwell. He introduced a series of acts such as the Corporation Act and the Act of Uniformity. By these he not only sought to impose the common book of prayer, but all who refused to be conformed to the Episcopal Church were driven out of the magistracy and also driven out of the civil service. In what became known as the Great Ejection, thousands of Puritan ministers were driven from their pulpits and from their manses. Their families were reduced to poverty and were forced to sleep in barns, and many of them were even cast into prison. But while the enemy came in as a flood, God was not taken by surprise. In the heart of a Bedfordshire, my village, he was preparing the heart of a man by the name of John Bunyan. Transforming him by his grace, he shone out the truth of the gospel, not merely for a generation, but his words are still awakening the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, in our very day. In his 60 short years, John Bunyan wrote 60 books. That fact becomes even more amazing when we consider that he did not write his first book until he was 28 years of age. And you see, God never leaves himself without a witness. In every age, he has his lights. Indeed, the Apostle Paul said in Acts 14, verse 17, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And when there was no prophet to declare the word of God, he caused the very elements to reveal the goodness and the grace of God. And you know, when the enemy come in as a flood, God always raises a standard. He is a light to shine in the darkness. And if you're in our meeting tonight and you're not, and you are saved, could I say to you, my friend, it's not by chance that you live where you live. It's not by chance that you were directed or got that position in employment where you work every day. But God has brought you there for a purpose. He has brought you there to be a witness. He has brought you there to shine forth the truth of the gospel. And I wonder tonight, like John Bunyan, are you letting your light shine? Are you letting the truth of the gospel go forth? Even as Bunyan, let us shine through him in his life and in his sayings. God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And God has called you to the place that you live. He's called you to the place that you work. To be his witness and to shine for him. And so this evening I want to draw your attention to this man, John Bunyan. I want you firstly tonight to think about his conversion. He was born in 1628 in Eslow near the town of Bedford. His father was a tinker or a mender of pots and kettles. And although poor, he was sent to school where he learned to read and to write. His early days were marked by certain things. They were marked by fearful storms. His childhood was not carefree as that of most children. But Bunyan was tormented by dreams and visions. As he slept, he often beheld demons seeking to draw him away. He had a terror of dying and falling into the flames of hell. These fears were further impressed upon his mind by certain events that were to take place in his life. On one occasion, while boating on a creek, he actually fell out of the boat and almost drowned. On another occasion, while on the Bedford River, he said, "It was mercy that preserved me." He was also bitten by a poisonous adder. And joining Cromwell's army to be a soldier, he was sent to besiege a certain city. And at the last minute, another soldier took his place, and standing where Bunyan should have been standing, he was hit with a musket ball. Falling to the ground, he fell dead. And although these events, along with fearful dreams, tormented him, yet he confessed in grace abounding, "I could not let my sin go." And being filled with despair, he determined that he would be the worst boy that he could be. And in the eyes of his townspeople, he most certainly succeeded. He quickly became known as the town ruffian. As a prankster, he used to go out and he used to ring the church bells at all the wrong times. You say, "Well, what's the harm in that? That's not really so evil at all." But you must remember that in those days, the church bells warned of invasion. They warned of death. They warned of disaster. As a blasphemer, few could equal him in cursing and in swearing. And although he had a fear of hell, and in his own soul, he longed to give up his blasphemies, he longed to change his life, he was unable to do it. And you see, sin has a captivating power, charming its victim, it then chains him. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, writing unto Timothy and urging him to urge his hearers to flee youthful lusts, he said in 2 Timothy 2 in the verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, it's only when the fox tries to get out of the snare that it realizes that it is imprisoned. And the more it tries to get out, the more and more imprisoned it becomes. And as such, Paul was reminding them here that although they thought they were free, they were in reality not. They were bound, chained, captivated by their sin. And you see, sin has a drawing power, so that although we eventually come to loathe it, we're unable to leave it. You know, sin or mice don't like traps, but you know, they do like cheese. And therein lies a tragedy. And my friend, that sin may seem pleasing, that sin may seem attractive, but let me tell you tonight, it will eventually trap you. The Health Promotion Agency for Northern Ireland tells us that one in every 25 in this province that ever touch alcohol become captivated by alcohol. They become alcoholics. In a recent survey, it was discovered that 14% of people that smoke, they have to have their first cigarette within 5 minutes of waking in the morning. And you know, even when they're at their strongest and they're at their freshest, they can't break the power of the cigarette for more than 5 minutes in their lives. And that sin tonight, it may seem attractive, it may seem appealing, and it may even be tonight that you are in control of that sin and you can have it or you can leave it. But I want to tell you, my friend, the day is coming when it will bind you completely. The day is coming when, although you'll come to loathe it, like Bunyan, you'll not be able to give it up. You'll not be able, to turn away from it. Sin has a captivating power. It binds, chains, and then it destroys. But not only did he suffer from fearful storms, but it was marked by fruitless strivings. At the age of 20, he married his first wife. Being also from a poor family and having lost her father and mother, she brought no dowry except two little booklets. They were called A Plain Man's Way to Heaven and The Practice of Piety. And you're beginning to read these books. A change began to take place in his life. He began to attend church. He went to a little Baptist church. The preacher was a man by the name of Dr. Gifford. And urging the people on the Sabbath to close with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bunyan, although he was a hard man, a blasphemous man, a wicked man. He said, the water often stood in my eyes. One Sabbath after hearing a sermon on Sabbath keeping, he went out to the village green to play tip cat. It was a common game. The people stood in a circle. And they had a bat, and they had a little wooden shuttle which they called the cat. The idea was you stood in the middle, and when the cat was throwing at it, you hit it as hard as you could, and then you had to guess how far you had hit it. Now, there was nothing wrong with playing tip cat, providing you didn't use a real cat. Now, the problem wasn't that Bunyan was playing tip cat. The problem was that he was playing it on the Sabbath day. And playing on the Sabbath day, suddenly he heard a voice from heaven. And looking up, he saw the Lord looking down in anger. And the Lord said to him, "Wilt thou leave thy sins and go to heaven? Or have thy sins and go to hell?" And you know, while he continued playing the game, it had a profound effect upon his life. Sometime later, an evil woman rebuking him because of his foul language, he gave up his swearing and he gave up his dancing and he gave up other worldly activities. And while neighbors most certainly saw a dramatic change in his life, yet Bunyan knew there was something missing in his life. There was no peace. There was no rest. And you see, my friend, Reformation is not regeneration. It can save or satisfy the life. Indeed, Paul belonged to the strictest sect of the Pharisees. While he could say in regard to their 248 positive laws and their 365 negative ones that he was blameless. While he tithed twice a week, fasted of all that he had, prayed every day. Yet taking up his pen, he said in Philippians chapter 3 in the verse 8, "I do count them but dung that I may win Christ." In other words, he recognized that all his praying and all his religiosity could never get him to heaven. My friend, better to live a moral life than an immoral life. But it'll never give you eternal life. Self-righteousness cannot bring pardon nor peace. The hymn writer, taking up his pen, he said, "Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone." And my friend, I would exhort you tonight to live a moral life. I would exhort you tonight to go to church every Sabbath morning and every Sabbath evening. I would exhort you to read your Bible. I would exhort you to say your prayers. But I want to tell you, my friend, when you've done all of those things, you'll still not be a child of God. You'll still not have forgiveness of sins. And you'll still not be on your way to heaven. Bunyan did all of these things, but there was still an emptiness in his heart. But there was also in his early days faithful sayings. Finding no peace of mind, fear still plagued his life. So much so that when he was ringing the church bells, he, fearing that one of the bells would fall on him in judgment because of his life, he pulling the rope, he used to stand beneath the doorway, continuing his search for peace, a copy of Luther's commentary on Galatians, where he explains his own life experiences, fell into his hands. It had a profound effect upon his life. Opening his mind to the truth, he one day came across a number of women talking in Bedford. As he listened, he discovered that they were talking about the new birth. He said they were as those who were living on the sunny side of the mountain. And the only way to get to them was through a narrow door. And realizing that that door was the Lord Jesus Christ, he pressing through by faith, his wife's prayers were wondrously answered. And entering in his burden as described in Pilgrim's Progress, suddenly rolled away. And you see, my friend, the path to heaven is not a principle, nor is it a practice, but it is a person. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, speaking unto his disciples, the Lord said in John 14 and the verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he reminded them that not only was he the life, but he was the only way into that life. And you see, while there is many ways to Christ, Christ is the only way to God. And my friend, if you're ever to be saved, if you're ever to enter into heaven, then like Bunyan, you need to, through faith, press through Christ, who is the door. And I want to tell you tonight, if only you come by faith, you'll not be disappointed. That burden that has weighed you down will roll away. And roll away for all eternity. My, what a glorious day there was in his life. He was converted. My, converted. My friend, can you look back tonight and can you say that on such and such a day, such and such a time, I pressed through that gate and I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. But I want tonight not only just to think about his conversion, I want to think about his conflicts. Finding Christ, his battles were not over. Entering into a new arena, there were now new battles to fight. There was a conflict of the soul. The sweet assurance of salvation did not immediately flood his soul. Doubts plaguing his mind, he doubted whether he was one of the elect or not. One day, reading of the unpardonable sin, he became convinced that he had committed it and there was now no hope for his soul. During that time, terrible blasphemies against God, against Christ, and against the Bible filled his mind. So great were they, he actually at times had to physically hold his mouth shut to stop them coming out. Being tempted to sell Christ, my, the desire at time became so strong, he had to rise from the table and he had to leave his food and he had to go away and pray. And finally, unable to bear it any longer, he one day said concerning Christ, let him go if he will. And for 2 years after his conversion, Bunyan was convinced that he was damned. He was convinced that his soul was lost. And there was no hope. And it was only as Bunyan began to read the Word of God, he began to read verses like love with an everlasting love, and reading the words of John chapter 6, the verse 37, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, that those terrible fears and doubts began to fade in his mind, and he began to get the sweet assurance of salvation, an assurance that neither man nor demon was able to take away. And you see, my friend, while it is the blood that makes us safe, it's the book that makes us sure. It deepens our assurance. You remember John and taking up his pen and writing unto his dear children in the faith. He said in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And John told them, you can know that you're saved. In fact, he said, that's the reason I wrote the epistles. That's the reason I wrote the gospel. It was that you could know. You could know that you're saved. And you see, the Word of God is given not merely to create faith. It's given to confirm our faith, to deepen our assurance of salvation. Maybe you're here tonight in our meeting. And there was a time when you came to Christ. There was a time when you bowed your knee and you turned from your sin and you looked by faith away unto the Lord and the burden of your sin rolled away. But my friend, you've never had peace of mind. Doubts have plagued you. Doubts have filled your mind. You've come to gospel meetings and the gospel, instead of warming your heart, has been a torment to you. And you've wondered again and again, am I saved or am I not saved? And can I urge you tonight to do what Bunyan did? My friend, read the Word of God. My assurance comes through the reading of the Scriptures. My reading promises, such as John chapter 6, verse 37, and my going through it logically, claiming the promise that is in there. Oh, it's by the book. It's by the book that we get assurance. And it was only as Bunyan read the book that he realized his burden was most certainly gone. And he was right with God. But not only was there conflict off the soul, but there was conflict for the Savior. Applying for membership of his local church, he had to come to the front and he had to give his testimony. And telling of God's grace in his life, the people were deeply moved. 6 years after his conversion, he, without any formal training, he began to preach in his local church, going out into neighboring towns and villages. Hundreds and thousands gathered to hear the former blasphemer preaching. However, while he had the gift of eloquence, he, like most preachers, he didn't find it easy. On one occasion, the attacks of the devil were so strong that draining him, he had to be actually carried out of his pulpit. On another occasion, finishing the message, he was so exhausted he didn't even know where he was. But though the devil came and the devil harassed him and the devil attacked him, he said, "An angel of God stood by my back to encourage me." You see, whom the Lord sends, the Lord strengthens. He gives grace to meet the need. Indeed, Paul, being arrested and brought up into the city of Rome, his friends and his fellow Christians deserted him. They wanted nothing to do with him. And although he was brought up and he was chained and he was alone, he lifting his pen, he said in 2 Timothy 4:17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." And when men left him, the Lord was there. And he was there not just as an observer. He was there to strengthen him. And you see, my friend, when we're all alone, we are never alone. The Lord is there to strengthen and to encourage us. And maybe God has been speaking to your heart. Maybe as you have sat in the meetings here week after week, you have felt God speaking to you. And God has wanted you to give your testimony. Or God has wanted you to take a meeting. Or God has wanted you to go to someone to witness to them. And you've been saying, "Well, I couldn't do it. I haven't the words. I haven't the strength." And you're exactly right. But my friend, whom God sends, God supplies. God is not a tyrant who sends his soldiers to battle with inferior equipment and without vital supplies. As he stood by Bunyan, he'll stand by you. He'll give you the courage. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the wisdom. Stand for God. Trust Him. And God will give the help. And God will give the ability. Not only was there conflict off the soul and conflict for the Savior, there was conflict with the slanderers. It should be said that Bunyan loved music. Unable to afford a violin, he actually hammered one out of iron. He later carved a flute out of the leg of a stool. More importantly, it was said of him, he strove to mend souls as well as kettles and pans. And as a consequence, he was often attacked and slandered. He was wrongfully accused of adultery and many, many other different sins. On one occasion outside Cambridge, my alert man came along and looking down his nose at Bunyan, he said, "How dare you preach when you haven't got the original scriptures?" Bunyan, with his wit, turned to him and said, "Sir, do you have the original scriptures? Do you have the actual manuscripts that Paul and the prophets had in their hand?" And of course, the man had to say no. But he said, "I've got copies of them." And Bunyan, turning to him, he said, "I believe the Bible, the English Bible, also to be a true copy." You see, when you stand for God, there will not only be times of blessing, there will be times of buffeting. Times when people will speak all manner of evil against you. But my friend, when those attacks come, remember, it doesn't really matter what people say about you. It doesn't really matter what people think about you. As long as the Lord looking down upon you can say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." My friends, strive for His approval. Strive for His approval. That's all Bunyan wanted, was to please His Master. Oh, child of God, let me ask you tonight, is that the aim of your life? Is that the longing of your heart tonight, to please Him? To please the Master? When you stand for the Lord, there will be conflicts. Conflicts within, conflicts without. There will be battles to be fought. But the victory is yours in Christ. But there was also His captivities. With the death of Oliver Cromwell in 1658 and the subsequent ascension of Charles II, the dark clouds of persecution began to gather. In November 1660, while preaching at a farm, Bunyan was arrested and he was thrown into jail. And I want you to notice the price of his captivity. While he counted it joy to suffer for Christ, it cost him much pain and perplexity. Being cast into jail, his young wife and four children were left with no income. During the early months of his imprisonment, his fifth child died during childbirth. The thought of his family, and especially that of his eldest daughter who was blind, having to beg and going hungry and going cold, continually tormented him. Added to this was the judge's warning that if he ever dared to preach again, he would be taken out and he would be publicly executed. So threatening were the judge's words that Bunyan often woke in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, choking, feeling the noose tightening, as it were, around his neck. And yet, when the clerk of the justice came into him and he said, "Bunyan, you can go free if you promise never to preach again." Bunyan turned to him and he said, "If I were out of prison today, I would preach again tomorrow. So help me God." And instead, he spent 12 years in prison and a farther 6 months in 1677. He was willing to count everything lost. Everything lost for the cause of Christ. And my friend, as well as serving Christ, we must be willing to suffer for Christ, to count all things lost for Him. Moses being offered the crown of Egypt. Why, we're told in Hebrews 11 and 25, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. And he chose to suffer for God, rather than have the approval of the wicked and the crown of Egypt. And I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, even as we speak tonight, the age is darkening down. It's estimated that in this year to come, that 160,000 believers across the world will be executed for the cause of Christ. It's further estimated that in this incoming year, 200 million believers across the world will be arrested, tortured, beaten, thrown into prison. Now, you may never have to go to the stake, and you may never even have to go to prison. But I wonder, my friend, are you willing to be mocked? Are you willing to bear slander? Are you willing to be viewed as an oddity in your place of work for the cause of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to suffer for Him? Are you willing to give up the applause of men if necessary for the cause of Christ? Bunyan loved his wife and he loved his family and he loved his liberty. But he gave it all up to serve his master. Or would you be willing to serve Him at that cost? But not only was the price of His captivity, there was the purpose of His captivity. While cast into prison, He didn't idle the hours away. Like the Apostle Paul, he took, taking up his pen, he began to write. During his first confinement, he wrote at least 9 books. Amongst them was A Prison Meditation, Grace Abounding, Christian Behavior, and perhaps most famous of all, Pilgrim's Progress. In fact, of all books originally written in English, no book has been more published than Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. A few years ago, the Chinese Communist government wanted an example of Western culture. They printed an initial run of 200,000 copies of Pilgrim's Progress. And within 3 days, they were all gone. And being published, they were the means of drawing many precious souls to the Savior. And you see, while his enemies came and they took him and for 12 years they thrust him into prison, God used it for good. God used it for good. Had Bunyan not been put in prison, you and I would never have had Pilgrim's Progress or any of all his other works. And you see, my friend, God is not the servant, but God is the sovereign of wicked men. Taking their poison, He turns it into medicine. Paul, speaking from his own experience, he said in Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And you see, not only the sweet things, but even the very satanic things work for our good. God takes them and uses them for our benefit. In fact, during his imprisonment, Bunyan was sometimes allowed out of prison on the Sabbath day. And he would go to neighboring villages and towns and he would preach the gospel of Christ. And you know, when he went out of prison, they didn't send any guards with him. Bunyan could just never have bothered coming back. He could have slipped away. Many would have been willing to hide him. But you know, Bunyan, knowing that God could take his imprisonment and turn it for his good, he willingly went back to prison. And maybe you're going through a dark time, a hard time. Maybe there's things in your life tonight, and if you had the choice, you wouldn't choose them. But my friend, God is able, if only you walk with Him and love Him and serve Him. God is able to take those things, and He's able to turn them for your good. And He's able to use them for your benefit. Oh, this evening, trust Him and walk with Him. There was also the presence in His captivity. Although alone and often tormented by dreams, He was never overcome. Facing the storms, He said, I see the best way to go through sufferings is to trust in God through Christ as touching the world to come. And lifting His eyes away from His own weakness, He set them in Christ. And my friend, rather than looking at yourself or looking at your sufferings, look away to your Savior. Keep your eyes upon His person and His power. Was that not the mistake of Peter as he stepped out over the sides of that little ship? Instead of keeping his eyes fixed upon the Lord, he began to look at the waves. And soon he began to sink. My friend, the secret to successful Christian living is keeping our eyes upon Christ. Looking to Him. Oh, believer, keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes upon the Savior. Look to man and you'll be disappointed. Look to the Savior and you'll never be disappointed. My, he was thrown in prison, but thank God he was put in prison. Because if he hadn't been, we wouldn't have Pilgrim's Progress. And could I say tonight, my friend, if you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, could I encourage you to get a copy of it? And read it. Read Grace Abounding. That's Bunyan giving his own testimony. It'll thrill your soul through and through and through. And then there was his conclusion. On the 19th of October, 1688, an armada of 52 men of war, 25 frigates, and a farther 400 ships set sail from Holland, coming to rescue this nation out of the grasp and tyranny of popery. They docked in Brixham on the 5th of November. And there came about the glorious revolution. However, while John Bunyan longed for such a day, he never saw that day. He preached his last sermon upon the words of John 1 and the verse 13, comparing the natural birth with the spiritual birth on the 19th of August. A few days later, he went to settle a dispute between his father and his son. And on the way home, he got soaked in the rain and he took ill. And he died on the 31st of August, 1668. Just a few more months prior to William landing there at Brixham. His death is best summed up in his own words. There in Pilgrim's Progress. He said, I'm going to my father's. My marks and scars I carry with me to be a witness for me that I have fought his battles, who will now be my rewarder. Death, where is thy sting? And my friend, if death was to come tonight and to lay its hand upon you as it laid its hand upon Bunyan many years ago, how would it be with your soul? Could you say, like Bunyan, you're going to the celestial city? That you're going to receive your reward from the Master? Or, my friend, would you be going out to eternal wrath, an eternal judgment, to be lost forever? Thank God there was a day in Bunyan's life when he saw the narrow door. And he recognized there was no other way to the sunny side of the mountain but through that little door. And he recognized that door was Christ. And he pressed through by faith. And he was saved. And tonight he's in Emmanuel's land. Oh, my friend, will you not come tonight? Don't gaze upon the door. Press through the door. Come this evening to Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and like Bunyan, you have a wife that prays for you. Then thank God for that. But my friend, press through tonight and know the burden gone and know that it is well for your soul. And then begin to serve Him. His service is not difficult. His service is blessed. And live your life. And then one day you shall hear those precious words, welcome, welcome. Press through tonight and take Christ to be your Redeemer. Amen.